That's right. That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. That's good stuff. We're in the right place, aren't we? All right. Boy, it's hard to follow all that. But I tell you what, God is good, isn't He? We're gonna bust up this fear, right? Get it out. You know, I was at a leadership conference, and on Thursday and Friday, and it was called Leadership Summit, and Bill Hybels from Willow Creek Church was putting this thing on all over the world. It was a live simulcast. And you know what really stood out? This isn't the only thing that stood out, but this is something that, you know how you guys always kind of, you know, when I talk about salubrious activity? Yeah, he says one of the things he's really doing now is making sure he gets his exercise in and watching his, you know, because if he gets flabby in the flesh, it's going to, when a crisis comes, it has the potential to take him out. But if he stays strong, he's going to be strong in the crisis. You know what? He said that. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. There's something about a discipline when you're exercising and stuff. I'm going to tell you what, it helps you mentally, spiritually, every area of your life. We're made up of what? Three parts: body, soul, and spirit. If you don't take care of your body, you're not going to be able to fulfill the call of God on your life. And you know what? You can shorten it by just, you see what I'm saying? Does it make sense? Now, you don't have to be mad at me. Still love me? I got my salubrious activity in this week. Even though I can't run, but I go walking. I walk for an hour and a half. It's about 6.5 miles. And so because I can't run, I walk. Because if I run, it still rattles my cage too much. And wait. It hurts. So I'm waiting until it gets a little more healed, you know? Okay, so what have we been talking about? Fear. We're doing a catharsis in this church. You know what a catharsis is, right? Remember that word, catharsis? Did I do that on this service? The word catharsis is it's an interesting word. Here's what it means. It means a purging of the emotions with the emphasis on fear and pity. A purging of the emotions with the emphasis on fear and pity. Don't you like that word? Yeah, turn that thing off. No, the cell phone. That's what catharsis means. It means a purging of the emotions with the emphasis on fear and pity. And then the noun, cathartic, means this. Means purgative or laxative. So, I'm like a laxative. I'm up here purging the stuff. God is purging the stuff. Not me, the God is, right? He's purging, he's moving some stuff. That fear and that pity, right? Out of the body, out the back door. Come on. Right? I like that. We don't want to have a pusillanimous spirit, remember? What's pusillanimous mean? Puny spirited. Pusillanimous. Pew means puny. Remember, solanimous means spirit. If you have a puny spirit, you're going to be a coward when it comes to standing up for God. So we don't want to have a pusillanimous spirit. We want to have a bold spirit, right? We don't want to be puny when it comes to the things of God. We've been talking about fear and how it keeps us and comes to keep our gift from manifesting, and so we're to keep us out of the effectual call of God on our life. Remember, there's the general call, and there's the effectual call. Remember I told you my dad, he answered the general call, he got saved, but then he got hurt in a church. And then he turned his back on church and never went back to church. So that's what happens to a lot of people. They get hurt in church, and they don't go on and fulfill the effectual call of God in their life. And so what happens is, they don't ever fulfill the plan and purpose they were created for because of fear. See, fear involves torment. Whenever I'm tormented, I'm focused on myself. Whenever you're tormented, that's what you're focused on, yourself, because perfect love casts out fear. So the idea is, we want to get fear, we're going to get some understanding of how fear works, because Jesus also said in Luke 21, he said men's hearts will fail them because of fear and the expectations of the things that are coming upon the earth. So the idea is, we don't want to allow what we're seeing all around us to create fear and cause our hearts to fail towards God. We want to keep our heart right towards God and keep it fixed on God. Amen? And so we've been looking at this idea of fear. And last week he looked at, it says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Remember, power is authority. Power is authority. Remember, if you're in your effectual call and you're under the word of God, you have power. You have authority. Your kids will listen to you. If your kids aren't listening to you and they want to rebel all the time, what are you doing? You need to take a look at what you're doing. Because if you're really after what God has for you and it's genuine and it's real, your kids are going to listen to you. There's just a power on your words. There's an authority on your words. And they take attention. But if you're fake and phony and you're just going through the motions, it's a joke. You come here and you leave and you dog the pastor, you dog people in the church, you look at something that maybe you didn't think was right, and you start talking about it on the way home and your kids are in the back seat, they're not going to listen to you. Because you're not in your effectual call. Because anything, the Bible says that only should come out of your mouth words that edify and build up. That's the only thing that should come out of your mouth. And you know what? When you speak around your kids, you better watch what you're saying, because they're listening. And that's polluting them. Does that make sense? So it's important to understand that. It really is. As parents, we do that. I remember, going to church and dogging the pastor. Years ago, kids were, and then I caught myself and I got away from it. And so you got to understand that. Does that make sense? So, fear, we're going to talk about love today. And we're going to, the love of God. So, fear is a spirit, remember? And it's sent from the enemy. It's sent from the enemy. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, sound mind. We talked about power last week, authority. What's the antidote to fear? Remember what we talked about last week? Boldness. Everybody say boldness. Bold. See, there's a bold when you truly have boldness and it's connected and motivated by your love for God, it shows up when fear comes. The boldness comes out. Fear actually triggers it in boldness to come out. And then the authority of God can be released in your life. And so that's the idea. We want to stay in our effectual call and not just our general call. Because our general call, if we just get saved and we don't go on, and we don't get plugged in the body of Christ, remember, then we can't answer the call of God in our life. You see, you can be in the body and not be properly connected to the head. But you can't be properly connected to the head and not be in the body. To be properly connected to the head, it means you have authority. You cannot be in a right relationship with God outside the body of Christ. Well, I can go worship God in the woods. You can, but you ain't affecting nothing. Are you with me? That's the way it's designed. That's the way God created it. And that's what we have to understand. We have to be connected somewhere where the Word of God is going forth, and you have to remain under that and let God do His work and keep calling you into that effectual call. That's huge. Fear tries to keep us from that. We're going to talk about that some more today, but we're going to focus on love today. Go with me to 2 Timothy, and we're going to just read verses 6 and 7 for the sake of time, because I have a lot of scriptures I want to go through today. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the gifts that are in this place and how they minister to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in the hearts of your people. Now, Father, we just come against the spirit of fear. It has no place in this place. It must leave right now, and we receive all that you have for us today, Lord. Prepare our hearts to receive everything you have for us. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of what you're doing in your church. Father, we thank you for it, and we're going to trust you. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, may they call upon you. You said, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and they shall not be put to shame." Father, we thank you for your word. I let your word be released here today with boldness in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Remember, boldness is the antidote to fear. Remember, fear is the antithesis of what God intended. It's the opposite of what God intended. And that's what fear comes, to get you to do the opposite of what God originated and created you for. Here's boldness. Here's the meaning of boldness. True boldness wakes up when fear is present. When you have true boldness, and it comes from your love relationship with God, it wakes up when fear is present. Here's what boldness means. It means fearlessness before danger. Fearlessness before danger. It means assured. It means confident. It means intrepid. It means adventurous. This is Oxford's. The New Oxford Dictionary says this. It means showing an ability to take risks. Showing an ability to take risks. It means courageous. It means a bold attempt to solve a crisis. In other words, when a crisis comes, it doesn't come and take you out. You just keep dependent on God, because your love is connected to God and you are bold in that. And the Bible says that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we would find help in the time of need. You stay dependent on God in a crisis, and you will get the answer, and you will get what you need as you depend on God. Are you with me today? In that crisis, no matter what's happening out there, you'll get what you need. God's going to take care of you. Are you with me today? And He will give you wisdom, and He will give you answers for any problem you're facing in life. God will give it to you. But you go to Him boldly, and that's the way it is. That's what that boldness means. Now look at this. Okay. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But He says, Paul said, I remind you to stir up that gift, right? What's the word gift? The word gift is the word charisma. And the word charisma actually is the charos. It means grace. It also means divine ability. In other words, the gift that God has given you is your divine ability to assist you in doing something you can't do on your own. to empower you to do what you can't do on your own. That's what your gift is. And everyone in this room has a gift. Everyone has a gift. You're born with a gift. It says in Romans 11:29 that the gifts and callings of God are what? Irrevocable. Irrevocable. That means it can't be taken away. It can't change. In other words, if you're miserable, a lot of times your misery comes because you're not using your gift and you're not in your calling. That's where our misery comes from. Because when you're in your effectual call and you're using your gift, that brings joy and fulfillment in life. And it's not based on what kind of house you live in, on what kind of car you drive, or how much is in your bank account. It's based on that you are in the will of God. Am I making sense today? And that's the call of God on our life. And that's what the enemy doesn't want to happen. He doesn't want you to be in that effectual call, because you are destroying his works when you are in that effectual call and affecting others and your sphere of influence. Am I making sense? So, that gift comes to destroy the works of the devil. As Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. 1 John 3:8 says that the Son of God came that he would destroy the works of the devil. When you are in your gift and in your effectual call, you are destroying the works of the enemy. That's huge. That's why he doesn't want you to come into it. Are we making sense? So, your gifting, the enemy comes to bring fear, to get that gift to lay down. This is so big. Because, folks, there are people who go to church and they get hurt. And they go from place to place, and they really never get into their gifting and their calling. They might be saved, maybe, but they never get into their calling. That's why you got to get plugged into a church where the Word of God is going forth, and you're sitting under the promises of God and receiving them and answering that call. That's how God calls you. It has to happen in the body of Christ. Am I making sense? It's just the way it's designed. So now, in 1 Peter 2:10, it says that you are to be diligent and to be sure of your calling and your election. The election speaks of your effectiveness. And in 1 Peter 4:10, it says this, that each one of us has been given a gift, and we're to minister that gift, right? And steward that gift in the manifold grace of God, in the manifold graces of God. So we're to steward that gift. How do you steward that gift? You steward that gift. Paul gave us the answer in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, he said, this is what he said. This is huge. We're to steward that gift and we're to minister it to one another in the body. Everybody has a gift. I need to use my gift to help you. I need your gift to help me. We help each other. We were blessed this morning by that singing this and all that prayer. Those were gifts going on, right? And helping us and taking stuff off of us. Those gifts were working. You see that. And so, now listen. So, we minister that gift to one another, okay? Now, how do you steward that gift? Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, to walk worthy of your calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is rich to all who call upon Him. You see, only one. One. Everybody say one.
One.
One way. Jesus said, I'm the way. He's the way. One way. And when we're in His way, and we're together, and we're one, we're doing it His way. It's not many ways, and oh yeah, well this faith is this way. No, it's one way, one faith, right? And when you're in that calling, now you're in your sphere of influence to advance God's kingdom. You see, God's kingdom is really, truly advancing through you because you are in that calling. How is that stewarded? Through lowliness. How does he say that? Walk worthy of your calling with all lowliness. Lowliness is humility. It's going to take you being humble. The more influence you have, the higher you go in the things of God, the lower you're going to have to go in the kingdom. You're going to have to remain humble to fulfill God's plan and purpose in your life. Because the more influence you have, the more you got to step back and be humble and let God get the glory. Am I making sense? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this. It says they have a form of godliness, but they deny his power. Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They have a form of God. What that word form means, pride. Pride is the opposite. It's the antithesis of humility. It's the opposite of humility. So pride, they have a form of godliness, and pride, and that word form means outward appearance. They look like Christians, smell like Christians, talk like Christians, but there's no power in their life. There's no real authority. You see, they deny his power because they're not willing to be humble and stay under the authority of God. Am I making sense? Come on, am I or not? And the authority of God is not a person, it's the body of Christ and the way he does things, his order. Come on. Now, humility, gentleness. Remember, what's that mean? The ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. In other words, God is going to let you in positions in the body of Christ sometimes that make you uncomfortable because he wants to see how you're going to respond. Because if you respond with your temper and the way you used to handle things, he's not going to use you. He's going to shut it off because he wants you to operate in gentleness. He doesn't want you spouting off and hurting people and blowing up when an uncomfortable circumstance comes and then walking away. He wants you to operate in gentleness, to be undisturbed. You see, he will take the most difficult people and rub your rough places smooth and the crooked places straight in your life, in the body of Christ. See that? If you were the enemy, you'd be in the body, wouldn't you? I'd be, you know what? He shows up, and that's what he does. He tries to speak through people and hurt people in the body. And that's why you got to be aware of who you are in the body, right? I'm telling you, folks, this is huge. So now, patience. Patience. Because remember that being undisturbed and not hurting people? Remember it's that idea that horse that can jump the highest and run the fastest? If he's not willing to submit to his master, he has to stay in the barn. Because if he doesn't, then if he goes out to war, then what happens is he risks hurting thousands of people because he doesn't know how to submit to his master. But if he can submit to his master, he risks winning the war. You see that? If he's willing to submit and do what the master says, he's going to assist in helping win the war. And his gifting is going to be used in a mighty way. Well, that's the same way it is with us. If we can't submit to God's word and his authority, then we have to stay in the barn. But the wildest stallions that are sit up under the word of make the strongest believers. And they have the most influence when they're willing to come under the authority of God. So if you're buck wild, remember, you're in the right place. So now think about this. So patience. Patience is that word hupomeno. Remember how you act while you're waiting. Willing to stand up under the pressure. That's patience. To stand up under the pressure. Hupomeno. Remember? We made a song about that, hupomeno. That's what patience means, hupomeno. Everybody's doing the hupomeno. Come on, baby, do the hupomeno. Do it nice and easy now and don't lose control. You're only going to make it when you're concerned for your soul. So come on and do. It's not working. Hupomeno now, you know, you see, that's patience. And it takes patience while you're in the body of Christ. No matter what you're going through, if you remain patient, God is developing you because he wants your gift and your calling to have influence, and he wants you to be effective. You know, that just makes too much sense, doesn't it? Now, we're talking about love today. Go with me to John chapter 18. Power, love, and a sound mind. So, we're talking about love, the agape love. That's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to use Peter as our example. Peter was bold, but Peter had a bold personality. And you know, that's not what we're talking about when it comes to being bold. Peter was very bold, but he wasn't. Oh, his boldness ultimately didn't come out of his love for the Lord, his relationship with God. His boldness came out of, you're going to see it, it's out of his own personality. Now, John 18, we're talking about the love of God today and how we're going to stir it up and walk in it and keep it and not let fear intimidate us to rob us from the love of God. Okay, John 18:3. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Now, here's this army shows up with Judas, and they're coming to arrest Jesus. Okay? Weapons, I mean, they're equipped, all right? Now, look at this, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, that's pretty bold of Peter, isn't it? I mean, here's an army, and he cuts off one of their ears. You know why? Because Peter knew that Jesus was there to get him out of it, to assist him if any feathers are going to be ruffled. Jesus is right here with me. Why? Because Jesus saved him when he began to sink in the water. Remember when he walked on water and he began to sink? Jesus pulled him back up. He knew Jesus would get him out. That's why he could be bold. His confidence was in the fact that Jesus was right there with him. That's where his confidence was, because Jesus was right there. God wants you to have confidence when no one's around, when nobody's standing there by you. I got something for you today. Now look at this. Go with me. Remember Peter when he denied Jesus in front of the little servant girl? That's intimidation, isn't it? Now, go with me to Matthew 26. We're going to go through some scripture here because I want to show you this, give you a picture of it. Matthew 26. And look at verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, Matthew 26:31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written. Now, look at verse 33. Peter answered, here's bold Peter. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. That word stumble means offended. I will not be offended. I'm not going to be hurt. I'm going to stand for you no matter what comes down the pike. Me and you, Jesus, we got it going on. We bros. I'm in it to win it. We're going to work this thing out, me and you. That's what he's saying. I paraphrase a little bit. Verse 34. I'm moving a little too much, but it's all right. Get that anointing back out and it goes away. All right. Verse 34. Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you this night, before the rooster crows, you, talking to Peter, you will deny me three times. Three times. Now, verse 35. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And look, and so said all the disciples. They said, we're with you, Jesus, no matter what happens. We're gonna die with you. Now look at this. Now, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Now look at this. So now they're in the garden, okay? Now, it appeared that the way they said, we're with you, we're going to die, it had the appearance that these guys were courageous, these guys were being bold, and these guys had pure motives on what they were up to in their walk with God. Am I right about it? Am I right about it? That's what it appeared. Didn't that sound like that to you? We're all in this together, right? Now, go with me to Luke 22. Remember, I want you to see this. Luke 22, 21. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on this table. Jesus is saying, one of you are going to betray me. All right? Now, this is all in the same. I'm just using different references to show you what's going on. This is all the same time period. Now look at this. Verse 23. After he said that, wouldn't you think that, hey, we're going to really discuss our love for him and we're going to find out that we all love him and we're all going to work this out, right? Is that what you would think? Come on now. Is that right? Now look at this. Verse 23. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Is it you? Who's going to do this? Who's going to betray him? They began to question. Still had a fairly good motive. Now, here's the kicker. Verse 24. When you're under pressure, what's really in you comes out. When you are under the most severe pressure, what's really in there comes out. See, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means oil press. Oil press. It means they took the olives and they pressed them. And the oil was released. You see, Jesus was in the garden and was being pressed for 3 hours. Now watch this. Look what they said. Look at this. Now there was also a dispute among them. Now they're disputing. All right? As to which of them should be considered the greatest. Now the real motive's coming out. You see this? Now they're talking about who's the greatest. Now about betraying him and standing with him until they die. That's no longer the issue. It's now who's the greatest. And you know, James was saying, you know, hey, I was with him at the Transfiguration. John says, I'm the beloved. You know, I laid my head on his chest. He loves me. Peter said, hey, wait a minute. I got you all beat. Who's the one that stepped out of the boat and walked on water? You see that? And so they're all standing. Who's the greatest, see? Pride and selfishness. When he needed them the most. Huh? Tell you what. Go with me to Matthew 26 again. got to show you this. Remember, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now look at this. Verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Your flesh will always seek to protect itself. Your flesh will always seek to give it what it wants. What were they doing while Jesus was praying? Sleeping. They were sleeping. He said, could you not only tarry with me 1 hour? And he said, three times. So he was in the garden for 3 hours wrestling with his flesh and the will of God. And at the end of that prayer, what happened? He resolved, it's the will of God. His love for God won. And that's perfect love. And it casts out all fear. Am I making sense? His love for God won. You know what? That's where God is trying to get us to a place. That the will of God is more important than our flesh and what we want in life. And that's your effectual call. When you're in a crisis situation, it's either going to be your flesh or it's going to be the will of God. The will of God will always get you through, and it will always release your effectiveness to influence other people. Am I making sense? To advance God's kingdom. Now, go with me to John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 4. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That we may have boldness, talking about it's coming from our relationship with God. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. When Jesus was judged, when Jesus was standing before Pilate, the governor of Rome, Pilate was amazed that Jesus didn't defend himself. Pilate was amazed that he didn't defend himself. You know why? Because he was standing in the day of judgment. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Jesus allowed the Father to do his will and his work. And he didn't. You know what? Listen to me. Whenever you're being judged, whenever you're being criticized, and you will be judged, and you will be criticized when you are in your effectual call and you are in your gifting. You will be judged and criticized. But you know what? You don't have to retaliate. You don't have to stand up and tell them, hey, and make yourself and explain yourself. You just need to keep your eyes on him. Am I making sense? Because people are going to come at you when you are in your effectual call. And you're going to be judged. But you don't have to make any excuses. You don't have to stand up and tell them, uh-uh. You just need to remain quiet and stay focused on him. Am I making sense? That's boldness. That's saying I'm trusting him. I don't have to explain myself here. I'm trusting him. Does that make sense? Now, look at this. Because as he is, what? So are we in this world. See that? That's the way we're to be. We're to not defend ourselves, and right? We don't have to. We just stay in what we're called to do. Stay focused. Now, look at this. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. See, Peter had filial love. Peter hadn't tapped into the perfect love yet. He was still, His love and desire to serve Jesus was where it needed to be, but his love for Jesus was not where it needed to be. That perfect love had yet been perfected. Now look at this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Torment. Every time you're tormented, guess what? You're focused on yourself. It's selfishness. Every time you're tormented in your mind, you're driving, this person and that, you're thinking, and what this one's done and that one, you're focused on yourself. What's going to happen to me? Every time. Remember that. See, if you resort back to and you depend on God, he's going to relieve that. He's going to relieve that. Jealousy, you get jealous? Well, you're focused on yourself. You should never get jealous, because whoever you're jealous of is not yours. You don't own them. Huh? Am I making sense? Torment, fear involves torment. Stay focused on God, and he'll mature that love and cast out fear. And you'll have freedom. Am I making sense? Now, think about this. This is huge. Now, Peter's confidence was in the fact that Jesus was with him. But remember, when Jesus got arrested, that's when Peter lost all of his confidence. When Jesus, he thought, they're arresting Jesus. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me. And Jesus told him, they're going to take me to the cross. I'm going to die, and then I'm coming back. He told him that 3 times, but you know what? It didn't resonate in their hearts. So Peter's confidence was in the fact that Jesus was with him all the time. Now he was arrested, and now it just changed the whole picture. Now he's lost his confidence. Here comes a little servant girl. You're the one that was with Jesus, not me. Not Peter, the one who said, I'll be with you. You, me and you, we're in it. Not me. I wasn't with him. Denies him in the rooster crows. See, he had lost all of his confidence. You know what? He went back to fishing. He thought, after Jesus spent all that and invested all that, he went back to what he used to do, fishing. Now, stay with me. Jesus, when he ascended, came back. He came back and said, now, go tell my disciples and Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Peter was fishing. He said, we've been toiling all night. See, he'd already gone back to fishing, his old job. Going back to the give it up on it, no confidence in God, no. He said, we've been toiling all night, Master, and we haven't caught anything. He told them what to do. Go cast into the deep. They did. Fish everywhere. Jesus said, Peter, in John chapter 21, do you love me? Filial love, not agape. I did a study on that. That's filial love. In other words, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. I'll do it. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Filio still, not agape. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Still, filio. Jesus ascended again and passed out the gifts. Peter preached. In the book of Acts, 3,000 people were saved. Now he's in his sphere of influence, and now he's beginning to see the mature love and how much Jesus meant to him. And Peter is the one that wrote, love covers a multitude of sins. Now, get a hold of this. Peter wrote this. We're talking about the love of God. Peter wrote this. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4, coming to him, Who? Jesus. Our relationship with Him. Coming to Him. Coming to Him, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Stay with me. Spiritual sacrifices, holy and acceptable to the Lord. What's a spiritual sacrifice? A spiritual sacrifice is somebody has hurt me and betrayed me deeply. Well, Jesus said, I'm to love them. I love you. I forgive you. That's the agape love. They come into the room, you got peace. The one who betrayed you. They come into the room, you got peace. That's the agape love. That's the love we're talking about. That's the one that the enemy tries to get. They show up, they're sitting right next to you. You got peace because you have real love for that person. You see this? Now, get a hold of this. Rejected indeed. I'm getting ready to drop a bomb here, so stay with me. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. Isn't it funny that Jesus was rejected? It says in that same chapter, 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6, that he was the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. Isn't it something that the one who was rejected, and because of his rejection, the entire church is built on his rejection? So that you and I can overcome it. Come on, get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. Remember, I had a fear of rejection. When I was growing up, my mom had that, she was a schizophrenic and put into a mental institution for 12 years and only come home on weekends. There was no nurturing, there was no mama and hugging and all that, none, ever. And so there was rejection there. So I had a fear of rejection. When you have a fear of rejection, guess what happens? You get rejected. Am I making sense? So Job said, that which I feared the most has come upon me. Some of you have experienced rejection as children. Maybe your spouse rejected you. Maybe your children's rejected you. Maybe your father or your mother has rejected you. But I'm here to tell you, if you respond in the right way, God is going to take that and use that to affect and influence His kingdom of is the kingdom of God in a mighty way when you react and respond to that in the proper way. According to God. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? I don't, if you were raped, if whatever's happened to you, God will take that and use that very thing because you're going to be dependent on Him. You see that? And He will use that to, you will influence and affect others and advance God's kingdom because of that rejection. Now, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Say, I'm a spiritual house. I'm a living stone. That's right, my brother. Now, you know what? I'll tell you what. We're going to sing a song, but I got something to deposit in you before you leave. So stay with us, okay? This last word is important. It's huge. It's huge. Stay with me.